Okay, if we look at the overview for the half year that we've almost just completed. If you look at our businesses, I think our asset management and wealth management businesses have continued to see net inflows. It's been a lot more volatile with all the geopolitical issues around and the tapering issue. But we did see net inflows and have the benefit from higher average funds under management. And both divisions are expected to record results ahead of the prior year. I think in our specialist banking business, we expect to report results below the prior year. It is a bit of a tale of two cities this time. The South African specialist banking business is expected to report results well ahead of the prior year. The UK specialist bank is expected to report results below the prior year. And we've just been through a significant restructure of the Australian business, and we expect the Australian business as a consequence to make a loss, which I'll talk about in a moment. So the period under review was characterized by a lot of volatility. We've seen a significant depreciation of the rand during this period, and a significant portion of our earnings come from our rand activities. And as a consequence, the impact of the rand exchange rate on the earnings will be a negative 16%. So it is a little bit swimming upstream reporting in sterling, but clearly that's our chosen currency to report in. So operating profit, that's a line on the income statement. Only the analysts will know which line it is expected to be marginally behind the prior year, but an increase of about 8%, somewhere in that vicinity in rand. Revenue in sterling is expected to be in line with the prior year. And recurring income is expected to be about 70% of operating income. Expenses are slightly up. They're up in two areas. We are growing in asset management and wealth management, so the expenses are up as they're hiring more people in those two businesses. And there's not a lot of rationalization activity still taking place in the bank, which would have caused expenses to tick up moderately. So we expect overall earnings in pounds to be down between 0 and 10% compared to the equivalent period last year. And if we translate that into rand, they would be up between 4 and 16%. I think if you look at our key earnings drivers, third-party assets under management have decreased, well, this was at the end of August, 4%. Again, currency played the major factor there. Would have been an increase of 1% on a neutral currency basis. Customer accounts, which is deposits, decreased by 5%, which would have been an increase of 3% on a neutral currency basis. And loans and advances decreased by 6% in sterling, but an increase of 3% on a neutral currency basis. So there was growth in all the earnings drivers, be they at a moderate sort of level. And however, in pound sterling, they all would have come backwards because of the impact of the rand exchange rate. Again, our funding and liquidity remain pretty strong, and we've continued to be successful at diversifying our funding sources. We are starting to see a lowering cost of funds in both our UK and Australian operations. The cost of money is starting to come down quite significantly. At this point, lending margins are holding, but there will be pressure on lending margins as well, as the economies in the world appear to get better and the risks appear to be declining. So we do have a significant amount of cash still, even though we're trying to diversify the deposit base. The headline number of 8.6 odd billion pounds is obviously a big factor, and that is the exchange rate compared to the 9.5 perhaps that we were showing in a previous period, because in stable currency the numbers haven't come off much at all, even though we are trying to reduce deposits to bring down the cost of money. And the loan-deposit ratio was still at a healthy sort of 70.7%, or very comfortable 70.7%. On the capital front, we did say in March that we had implemented Basel III in both South Africa and Australia. They did have moderate impact on our ratios, but it wasn't material. At this point, clearly there are phases in, but I think we're really reasonably comfortable with our capital in those two geographies. In the UK, we are still reporting under Basel 2.5. Basel 3 only comes in on 1st of January. Europe have adopted CRD 4, but the UK PRA, which is the regulatory agency in the UK, are just going through a consultation process on the implementation of CRD4, and the implementation will be tougher than the European rules. However, the outcome of that will only be towards the end of December. So we will only be able to really assess the impact on capital ratios in the UK by the end of December. In the meantime, all our capital ratios, based on current legislation, are within our group's target range, or expected to be within our group's target range. On impairments, I think we are seeing impairments come off. We expect them to be 25% lower than the prior year, and that the credit loss ratio is expected to be between 0.6 and 0.7%. That's on our core loans and advances. Clearly, that's still not at normalised. Normalised is probably 0.5, and in good conditions, probably normalised is probably lower than that. But clearly, you are seeing a big downward shift from the height of the crisis, where we were at about 1.27%. And similarly, in Kensington, which obviously still has an impact on our results, we expect the impairments to be lower as the UK residential property market is improving significantly, and we do expect impairments as a consequence to be lower in that business. If we look at our divisions, asset management performance remains very solid, be it that financial markets have been particularly volatile during this period. We did see positive net inflows to the end of August. However, overall stable currency, as we said earlier, was flat, which said that we lost some of our funds under management to the markets. And financial performance is expected to be marginally ahead of the first half of last year. The sale of the 15% stake in Investec Asset Management to Management was completed at the end of July, the 31st of July, and that obviously will have some impact on bottom line, as we made in the announcement, because we lose some of that money to the minorities, and our reinvestment rate and the cash we received will not equate to what we lose to minorities, with interest rates currently being quite low. On the wealth side, wealth and investments, I think that both our UK and South African businesses are performing well ahead of the prior year. That is partially as a consequence of higher funds under management. We did see net inflows for the period of 0.3 billion pounds, which is, I suppose, just under 5 billion rand. to the end of August, we're seeing an improvement in margins in the UK as we deal with the cost base and as we continue to rationalise the business. So I think this business is probably, one of the businesses that are doing pretty well at this point in time in the cycle. If we get to the Specialist Bank, as I said to you earlier, it's tailored to Citi, South Africa, well ahead of the prior year. UK, we are concentrating on realigning costs with revenue, and we've rationalised certain businesses. We're still in that process. So results are still negatively impacted by the legacy book and the low yields earned on legacy assets. As I said, there's been recently good news on the UK economy that has not yet filtered through into day-to-day operations, although we're seeing, because it's been holidays, you wouldn't really have reflected it yet. But we are seeing a pickup in activity levels, which hopefully will help us going forward. But we still will be in a process of realigning and restructuring. When it comes to Australia, we've made a call to simplify the business. You're aware that our CEO in Australia left on the sometime in April this year, and we sent Kieran Whelan, global head of our private bank, to conduct a strategic review of the business and re-look at where we can make a decent living and where we can meet shareholder expectations and what we need to cut out. And I think the conclusion we came to was we try to build on too broad a front, and therefore we must concentrate on building depth as opposed to breadth in businesses where we believe we have where we can be successful and where we have a chance of competing. It is a very competitive place. So that process, that realignment process has been implemented over the last 6 weeks, and that is going to result in quite a big drop in headcount, about 70 people initially out of 480, and we believe that that adjustment of simplifying the business, reducing the costs of building the infrastructure and using the group infrastructure will help us get that business to a decent return on equity and meet our cost of capital. It will still take us a couple of years to get up there. But we do believe that there is quite a good path, but it will take a few years. So if we look at the detail in the specialist bank, I think net interest margin, as I said, we saw loan growth of 3% in neutral currency. Our lending margins, I mentioned, had been stable. We're seeing a cost of funds reduce in UK and Australia. We have a lower reinvestment rate compared to the comparative period last year in South Africa because interest rates did go down. And we are experiencing less income from high-yielding assets that we bought at the time of the crisis that are running off. And we still remain very liquid. So we do expect, both in South Africa and the UK, a decline in net interest income at a gross level, and Australia a rise in net interest income. If we look at fees and commissions, we've seen good performance in our private client area, both transactional and professional finance activities starting to perform quite well. We've seen good performance from project finance, resource and structured finance teams in South Africa because there has been a fair amount of activity in that space. On the corporate front, we've seen lowish levels of activity, and they are expected to be lower than the prior year. Overall on fees and commissions, we expect our South African fees and commissions up, our UK ones down, and our Australian ones down as a consequence of the low levels of activity I talked about earlier. If we look at investment and trading income, we've seen a pretty good performance from our South African unlisted investment portfolio. All the underlying investments are performing quite well. We saw lower earnings from our fixed income portfolio in the UK, which was partially offset by solid performance in our investment portfolio in the UK. So equity-type activities are starting to do a lot better. And then we also have seen some improved customer flow activity. So South African investment and trading income we expect up, UK and Australia down. On costs, South African costs were up ahead of inflation due to higher IT-related expenditure. We have refocused a whole lot of things that we're doing and concentrating on building some of our platforms and writing off projects that we believe aren't right for us or not appropriate for us. And then we would also have higher variable remuneration as a consequence of higher income in the specialist bank. And then costs in the UK and Australian business are increasing moderately due to integration and rationalisation costs. Clearly in the second half of the year, the costs in Australia would come down quite significantly. I think our effective tax rate we expect to be between about 17 and 18%, and we expect a weighted number of shares in issue to be about 859 million at the end of for the particular trading period. So this thing's a bit slop, Greg. Anyway, I think in conclusion, market conditions, as you all would be aware, around the world have remained mixed, and it is very difficult to predict where they're going. One day you think they're going to run, the next day you think, well, we're in trouble again. So the geopolitical issues and the macro issues are still out there, and we do believe that the developed world economies are starting to improve a lot, and that the air of optimism hopefully will sustain if you know, we still see progress on the geopolitical front, and the Chinese and the U.S. economies continue to show some of the traction that they're currently showing. So hopefully that situation remains. I think for us the challenge is still right-sizing our specialist banking businesses and realigning these business models to generate appropriate shareholder returns. We agree with you that at this point in time the returns are not acceptable. We are very comfortable with our progress that we've made thus far in South Africa, and I think we're starting to get to a level where the returns are acceptable. And we have been through a significant adjustment process in Australia, which is now complete, and we're in process in the UK. So Again, prospects for us, for our type of organisation, still depend on levels of activity and sustainability of economic recovery. We do feel more positive about the trend and the news flow, but we have to remain slightly cautious, even though we're optimistic, because of the stop-start nature of the economy that we've had to confront over the last 2 years, in particular since the financial crisis. So, you know, we believe that we're firing on 2.5 cylinders at this point in time out of 3, and we need to just get that other half right, and then we'll really start generating appropriate shareholder returns. But at this point in time, there's an element of our business that is still work in progress, and there's an element that is really starting to fire, but not at the level that one would desire yet, but on the way. So that's really where we are, and I don't know if there are any questions, but we're happy to take questions. I can start off with questions in SA. Ruby, you're going to ask us about sponsorships.
Well, you didn't answer my question before the briefing, so I doubt if you will now.
Okay.
But I'm very pleased to see the name plastered on every rugby field and cricket field imaginable. Now, Mr. Kossoff, you did state, you did give details of the changes taking place in Aussie, but in respect of the UK, all you stated, and I quote, "We are in process in the UK." Could you perhaps be a bit more specific?
Well, we've been through a process of moving. You know, we haven't really got specifics to talk about, but we are rationalising and realigning some of the businesses. Like an example is in South Africa, we combined our equities business with our corporate business, and that has been very successful. You know, the research and sales types institutional business was under real pressure because of margins, and we're following the same path in the UK. So these are the kinds of things that we are actually doing. We're still in the one bank process. We've told you many times that we've been merging infrastructure, but it's not a one-day game. It's like a test series. So these things take longer than one expects, and it takes time to get everything properly aligned. But those are the processes we're in. We know that we have to get our costs and revenues aligned, and we know that we have to get our shareholder returns up. Now, there are drags from legacy, and it takes a long time to clear the legacy. You need a good economy, and, you know, the economy has still been limping. It's only now that it's sort of like lifting its head. So Australia has been in an election period, so nothing's been happening. And hopefully now with the new election and the new Prime Minister coming in, who's very business-friendly and proactive, we'll start seeing, you know, more action on the ground there. But the UK certainly, you know, has been in an austerity period for the last few years, and it's starting to show signs of light. Now, we've seen that before, and then something goes wrong in the world and it sticks you back in the soup. So hopefully we're now seeing, you know, all those things are being knocked off. I mean, today the government sold their part of their stake in Lloyd's, so that's also a very good sign. So there are good signs out there in the developed world. Obviously, the tapering is perhaps could be an issue for the developing world, but you know, we're comfortable where we are in SA.
Hi, Stephen Voigt from SBG.
Voigt, you've taken your glasses off. What is you,
a while
and,
ago?
And your suit.
Yeah.
Don't you have to wear suits there?
I thought the results were actually next week, Stephen, so
Caught
me a bit by surprise.
Okay, anyway, sorry, Voigt.
just a question with regards to the Australian provisions. You said that there's both a restructuring and an increase in impairments. Can you maybe just explain?
Yeah, we had one thing that was binary, you know, could have gone either way, about $9 million, $10 million that we had to write off.
Okay.
Which would have pumped up the provisions. So in the overall context of things, it's not big, but for the Australian business, it's big.
Okay. And has there been a general, I mean, has there been any disposal of books in Australia?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
More questions? Can we go to London? I don't know. Bernard, any questions there? We can't hear them. Greg, we can't hear them. Huh? No, we're still calling you. I hope they could hear me. Otherwise, I've got to go through this all over again.
No, there's nothing here, Steve.
Okay, well then, no more in South Africa. One more chance. Okay, thank you for attending, and we'll see you in November. Cheers.